The 2006 Eagles season ended in disappointment in New Orleans on Saturday. I'm Don McKee. We will be looking back at that game and looking forward to 2007 here on the Eagles Wrap-Up. With me on the line is Bob Brookover, our longtime Eagles beat reporter.
Hey, Don.
Welcome back, Bob. And with us on the other line, Mark Narducci, also present in New Orleans on Saturday night. Marcus.
But, Don, it's hard to believe this is our last show.
It's not our last show. It's a little bump in the road before we begin the training camp spectacular 6 months from now.
I may cry soon.
All right, guys. Not to spend too much time beating a dead horse, was there one key that jumps out of the Saints game at you? Or was this loss simply a continuation of all of the things that had gone wrong during the season, such as drop balls or the team's inability to stop the run?
Well, I'm not sure it was a continuation with the drop balls, because it was Westbrook who had the key drops in this game, and he's usually pretty shorthanded, although I can remember going back to the Super Bowl even where he had a key drop in that game. But for the most part, he's always been pretty shorthanded. The run defense, on the other hand, that could be a continuation of that. To me, what the whole thing came down to, though, was that bye week and then the Eagles going on 6 days rest. If you look at the game, the Saints outplayed the Eagles in most respects, and at the end when it really mattered, when the Eagles needed to make a stop, the fresher legs won out here. And, you know, I'm not sure that the Saints are a superior team, but that night they were a better team, and it was obvious to me that they were a more rested team.
Very interesting. Mark, how did you see it?
Don, I did think that, as Bob said, I thought the Eagles' legs gave in on them. But I do think, too, with the run defense, I think it was a major problem this season. And, you know, the Saints got 208 yards. The Eagles on that last drive knew the Saints were going to run, and they just couldn't stop them. So, and by the way, the Saints have pretty good running backs. Let's make that a point too. And McAllister and Reggie Bush. There are a lot of teams that aren't going to be stopping those guys. Haven't this year, but still, I think that's in the off season. That's certainly going to be one of the things the Eagles have to look at the most. Why they were pushed around a number of games this year, and I thought they especially were in the second half when, as we said, they did have some tired legs.
I think the bigger thing too is that, you know, they need to look at their linebacking situation and decide what they're going to do there. And I've felt that from the beginning, and I felt that's been the biggest part of the running game problem has been the linebacking situation, and I still think that needs to be addressed.
Save that for the end of the broadcast there, Bob. Marcus, okay. We're going to take a look at the critical decision that everybody's going to remember in this, taking away from this game, is Andy Reid's decision to punt the ball away. He has expressed some regret about this. What were you guys thinking at the time in the press box?
Go ahead, Mark.
I mean, it's easy to say now, but I was thinking go for it for this reason. They hadn't shown that they could stop the run in that half. They had shown that they can make big plays offensively. And to me, even if they didn't make that first down, and they still, if they could have stopped them on three and had them even kick a field goal, it would have only been a 6-point game.
I've thought a lot about it, and like Mark, my initial reaction was you got to go for it here. But that, I thought back again to the Super Bowl where the Eagles scored to make it 24-21, and they decided to go for an onside kick there. And in retrospect, to me, that was the disastrous decision in that game, was the onside kick, because at that time they had three timeouts left. And they stopped the Patriots on three straight running plays. Now, I'm not saying this run defense is as good as that run defense, but when you know they're going to run three straight times, you'd like to think that your defense, could, knowing what's coming, could stop them. As I tried to express in my last article, in this morning's article, Tuesday morning article, you know, there were so many other factors that go into this. And the players themselves said, you know, we should have put Andy Reid in a better position not to have to make a 4th-and-15 decision.
Well, speaking of that, one of the things that I noticed today, actually this afternoon, sitting down to think about this podcast, the Eagles scored a touchdown on their first possession of the second half, and they scored it relatively quickly. They only scored 3 points in the rest of the half, and I hadn't been conscious of that. I was thinking at the time of the punt, that you have to go for because you're not getting the ball back. As soon as the ball left Dirk Johnson's foot, the game was over. But in retrospect, looking at their struggles on offense throughout that second half, you have to wonder, it's just a coin flip one way or the other. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
He could have been second-guessed either way, the way he did that. I mean, it was one of those decisions that, you know, if he doesn't get it, people were saying, well, what do you do? The only thing about if you don't punt it and you don't get it, you're now in a situation where you got to stop him on three downs.
Well, I think the Saints would have just kept running the ball and run it on fourth down. But that's water over the dam. Let's look back at the season. Was there a key point where this team turned the season around? I look at it as almost a non-football item when you look at their three losses, disastrous losses, to AFC teams. Once they got back to playing the NFC, they were very much more competitive, and they proved it by beating Carolina to start that winning streak. Now, that's a simplification, but Mark, how do you see that, the turnaround?
Well, Don, I think that is a simplification. Remember, one of the AFC games, they lost Donovan McNabb in that game against Tennessee, although they weren't exactly playing great when they had McNabb in there. So I'm not ready to say that they couldn't hang in with the AFC teams. They just picked bad times. I mean, against Jacksonville was one of their worst games, and against Indianapolis it was their worst game. But obviously the Colts are still alive, so that's a pretty good team. I think the season turned in the end zone when Lito Shepard intercepted that pass intended for Keyshawn Johnson and got the Eagles at 6-6 and showed them that they were still alive in this. Got a lot of confidence, and then obviously they didn't lose again until the Saints game.
Bob, how do you see it?
I think there are two things that I look back at. I remember saying when they were 4-4 that the Tampa Bay and the Giants losses are going to come back to bite them. They didn't in terms of them getting into the playoffs, but if you go back and look and they win that Tampa Bay game, which they completely dominated the game, had no business losing, and if they win that Giants game, which we all know the situation there, that game Saturday is played in Philadelphia instead of in New Orleans, and you know I'm not sure that the Saints win coming to Philadelphia, you know, or anybody, you know, whoever the third seed is or whoever advanced.
No, I agree.
Not only that, they have fresh legs as well. They get a bye, so that's a good point.
Right. So those two games, I think I'm always going to remember. As far as the turnaround, Lito Shepard's interception in the end zone, for sure. One of the interesting comments I heard through the course of the season as the Eagles were putting this win streak together and going on to win a division was from L.J. Smith saying that for the offense, the point that they realized that they could still be a good offense and competitive offense was that night in Indianapolis. And he felt for the offense, the turnaround started there because they felt like they could do things in that game and saw that they could do things, and that gave with Garcia as their quarterback, and that gave them confidence and impetus to go on and be successful for the rest of the season.
Okay, very good point. That has not been brought up before that I'm aware of. And that segues nicely into the 2007 preview. Bob, we'll start with you because you earlier had mentioned the linebackers.
From my standpoint, I just look at the free agents that they have. The two guys that are going to get the most attention probably are Dante Stallworth, which I really feel like they need to bring him back because one of the things that jumps out at me about this season is, you know what, the Eagles lost Terrell Owens, and to me, in the Andy Reid era, this might have been their best receiving core that they've had during the Andy Reid era, where they had three or four guys in any given week where you could say, wow, that's, you know, they can go to those guys, and the other team doesn't know who to cover because if you want to pay extra attention to Dante Stallworth, you can be burned by Reggie Brown. And Hank Baskett, as a rookie, really showed that he has a lot of potential. Greg Lewis wasn't great, but he was a guy who every once in a while would, you know, make those catches at an important time in the game. So to me, this was their best receiving core they had. And if they lose Stallworth, you lose some of that. Garcia is an important decision. I don't know if it's vital that they get him back because I don't know how good A.J. Feely is because all we saw from A.J. Feely was very good. So that's interesting. But to me, one of the two of the key guys that this team really needs to get back, believe it or not, one is Juque Thomas. They spent all the money on Darren Howard and gave Juque Thomas a one-year deal, and Juque Thomas ended up being a better defensive end this year than Darren Howard. And the other guy, well, I think Michael Lewis and Rod Hood are going to be gone, but the other guy who doesn't get a lot of attention, who I think they really need back, is Quentin Michael, who became a force on their special teams and may have more of a role on the defense next year.
Very good. Mark, how do you see the priorities for 2007?
John, I think the number one priority, just to touch on what Bob said, is Stallworth. I mean, I know he's represented by Drew Rosenhaus. I know the negotiations are not going to be easy, but I think if they lose Stallworth, they're going to take a major step back just because of the way, like Bob said, he forced them not to double-team Reggie Brown all the time. He opened the field with his speed. I know there were some people that said, you know, he's injury prone, but he did have the hamstring problem. But you remember the previous 2 years he didn't miss a game in New Orleans. So I mean, if the price tag's anywhere near reasonable, to me he would be my number one priority. The other thing is I would look at the linebacker position as well, and I'm going to go one step further. I think Jeremiah Trotter and Bob mentioned this in one of his articles, that in the fourth quarter of the Saints game, he looked a lot more fatigued than he did in the first quarter. And I think that we've seen that maybe Trotter is a guy that could still be effective, but probably has to be spotted even more than he was this season.
Well, I think, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mark, but I think one of the things is when Sean Barber's not there and they're not able to get him off the field on third down in a passing situation, that really wears him out too, which you... Because Barber gets hurt at halftime, that was the case there. But sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're right, Bob. So I think that they have to obviously get better at that position. And I still think that Omar Gaither's future with the team is going to be in the middle and maybe be a guy that could replace Trotter. And I think if the popular choice has been if a Paul Pazluski is there from Penn State, maybe to look at his direction. But I think that they might have to draft a linebacker pretty highly this year. The other thing I'd like to see them do, if it's not too expensive, is bring William James back. I mean, he was hurt a lot. He was coming off, obviously hardly played at all the year before, but I know they liked him. They like his coverage skills. If he could stay in the field, I think that he could be a pretty suitable nickel cornerback and a replacement for Rod Hood.
I think they really like Hanson at that spot, too, who didn't play it as much, but he became a vital part of special teams, and he could definitely get a look at the nickel corner as well. And I think when we're talking about the linebackers, Bill Conley was kind of drafted this year to maybe replace
Danny Jones?
Honey Jones, yes, I'm sorry. And he never got that chance because he got hurt in training camp. So, I mean, he's a guy that they're definitely going to look at here in the future, too. So, if Pozlowski was there from Penn State, that would be an interesting decision they'd have to make.
You guys have covered this very well because I like Stallworth and I love Garcia, but I keep coming back to my mantra that I've said all my life. The teams that win the Super Bowl are teams that run the ball well and which defend against the run equally well. They found this year they can run the ball. Now they need to fix the defense against the run.
Well, Don, the other thing is I think that they do need a big back to complement Westbrook, a guy that maybe could get eight carries a game. I know Carell Buckholder did a commendable job this year, but I think they need a Brandon Jacobs type, sort of a big mm-hmm. back that can make defenses pay a little bit more.
Who can get you third and one down on the goal line, for heaven's sake.
See, the more I looked at that game last night, watching the game over again, it wasn't about having a big back the reason they weren't able to get third and ones and short yards. It was about what was happening up front, not so much the back that was... I've seen Brandon Jacobs stopped at third and one, too, and Westbrook was stopped on second and one. He gets to the hole quicker than Brandon Jacobs, but it didn't matter how quick he got to the hole because they allowed Will Smith to close on that play from the outside without blocking him, and it just became a vital play in that game. But I thought Buckholder did fine as a big back this year. I really did. If I was the Eagles, he's not going to command a lot of money. I think you can live with him. If he reproduces the season he had this year, next season, I think you can live with that.
All right, one last question here, and I had not had this on my original list, but we have not yet mentioned the words Donovan McNabb. And I'm wondering, is it a sure pop? Is it 90%? Is it 75% that he will be ready to start the season next September?
I just think it's too early to tell, Don. I mean, you're going to have to see where he's at when the mini camps start coming. And as of right now, I just don't know if you can say definitively anything about Donovan until we see how his rehab is coming along. And I mean, and until he talks, which is probably supposed to happen here in the near future. So after he talks, we might have a better idea. But until then, you know, you don't know.
All right, well,
Don, I think the big question is not whether he'll start the season, whether he'll finish it. I mean, that you've got to ask that after he's had injuries that have cut his seasons way short the previous 2 years. I think that's going to be even a bigger question than whether he's there opening day.
All right, we're going to close this now with something good. I want your number one memories of this season. What are you going to take away from this season as we go through these six long football-free months coming up? Mark, I'll let you start.
Well, my number one memory is the fact that they gave us 2 weeks of extended football, Don, because I had counted them out when they lost all the way back to Tampa Bay. I thought that would just bite them too hard. I counted them out about four or five times, and they came back. So the resiliency they showed, that's probably something that'll stay here, because let's be honest, when they were 5-6, there weren't a whole lot of people, including the players, who were talking about playing in the playoffs.
Bob, what do you got?
And mine would be just those three straight division games ending up in Dallas and winning all three of those games, and particularly the one in Dallas, because
amen.
I thought they played, you know, they played as well as they could play that night in Dallas on Christmas night. And I think they made it, from a football standpoint, it was the happiest Christmas ever in Philadelphia for Eagles fans.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Bob, because I had the best Christmas I have had as an adult in this country. I no friends, no relatives, no family, no visitors, me and a box of Chinese takeout watching the Eagles absolutely trash the Cowboys. Nothing could be better than that.
All right, now that we've got the rundown on Don's sad and pathetic life, we can go on from there.
And it was not me wearing that T-shirt in Dallas. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We will talk to you. We will update as events warrant throughout the offseason. Thanks for a great job here on the Inquirer's Eagles Weekly Broadcast.